are going, Lee.
Here's something that's very topical at the moment, those soaring fuel prices.
We certainly are. And look, we've had the discussion a few times over the years about how every single thing that we do has an energy input cost. Even pouring milk on your breakfast Weet-Bix has an energy journey. The grass is grown for the cows. Okay, that's mostly used in the sun. But there was fertiliser involved in making that grass grow. A lot of energy goes into producing, transporting and spreading fertiliser. During summer, those fields can be under heavy irrigation to enable that grass to grow. Plus, cows, dairy cows, drink about 70 litres of water a day. So a herd of 1,000 cows will consume around 70,000 litres of water a day. So that energy there to move that water around. There's also supplemental feed for cattle, which all requires processing and transport. There's an energy input in milking the cows, another in cooling down the milk.
And there's also in transporting, Adrian.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the energy to homogenise, pasteurise the product. It's poured into a plastic jug that's made out of crude oil. It took energy to make that. It's transported to the supermarket. You drive to the supermarket, you purchase it. And apart from the brief time it's in your car, it's under refrigeration the whole time. And what does refrigeration consume, Lee? It consumes energy. If we broke it down to the smallest detail, there would be easily over 100 energy inputs or more into the product. You just undo the lid on and slot in your Weet-Bix.
So I guess the point being is that every single thing that we do and use has an energy input. So soaring fuel prices are going to impact us on how severely in many ways that we'll have no chances of avoiding.
Bang on. Yeah, you're dead right. And while electric vehicles and hydrogen cars are part of the long-term answer, right now, they cost a bomb, and they're not readily available. And the other thing, too, is many of them aren't actually fit for purpose for the task we use in combustion engines for, you know, like log trucks and trains and things like that.
But we're not completely helpless, though.
Exactly right. So there are things we can do to keep our immediate fuel costs, or at least the impacts of them, lower, especially in how we use and maintain our motor vehicles.
Today, we're going to look at what we can do to, say, help reduce our fuel costs.
That's right. So fuel has risen by over 100%. Recently, compared to what it was, and it's said to continue rising. So let's see if we can pare that back a bit.
Number one neglected issue for cars and fuel economy is our tyres, and we do forget about that.
Yes, it is. Underinflated tyres can increase your fuel consumption by around 10%. And we're all guilty of doing the splash and dash at the servo and not checking our tyres inflation and just leaving it to be done at, say, the engine services when we send it back to the dealerships. The problem is car tyres only do one thing once fully inflated, and that's lose air over time. Cars that sit for long periods between trips lose air quicker than cars that are used regularly. But even cars, any car's tyre pressure only goes one way, and that's down. So we just save 10%. What do you reckon we'll do next?
What about clean the boots and the back seat?
That's a very good idea. That's a really bad habit most of us have of leaving stuff in the boot or on the back seat. The golf clubs that rattle around the boot for months at a time. It's all excess weight. It all consumes more fuel, and that's about 2% more fuel. So we're at 12% savings. We've only got 88% to go.
So we've done the boot. We've cleaned out the boot and the back seats. We've checked our tyres. What about speed?
Yep, you bang on again. The faster you drive, the more wind resistance you have, so more friction, and you burn more fuel. Just for example, a car will burn 15% more fuel at 100 kilometres per hour than it does at, say, 90 kilometres per hour. Or 25% more fuel at 110 kilometres per hour than it does at 90 kilometres per hour. So basically, stick to the speed limits and ease off the throttle. So now we're not doing 120 kilometres per hour on the highway anymore. We've saved you another 25%. We've got 63% to go.
I was seeing someone from the RACT the other week talking about acceleration. So a small tip, accelerate smoothly instead of quickly.
That's right. So and avoid aggressive braking. Allow the vehicle to roll into the corner shedding speed instead of driving into it, hitting the anchors and then driving hard out of it. Plan your trips. Predict what you're likely to encounter, like roadworks and schools and things. So if you get stuck in front of a school, then there's a fair chance it's going to happen at the same time and location tomorrow as well. So leave earlier or take a different route. Don't drive with your windows down. That's very hard on your fuel. Use cruise control, cruise in top gear. If you get stuck in roadworks, turn the engine off if it's going to be stopped for more than 3 minutes. If you do all these things, you're looking around another 10% or more of savings. So we're about 53% left to find a solution for.
And if you're listening this morning, just take a bit of a look around the cars around you at the moment as we speak.
Yep, and guess how many people are in the bulk of those vehicles? And I'm pretty sure I can answer that. So if you want to have a look, you'll see that the bulk of the cars have one person in them, and they're all heading in the same direction.
And this brings you to carpooling, ride-sharing with colleagues.
Exactly. Now, if you can just find one person to ride-share with and you go turn about, that's 50% reduction in your total costs. And if there's three of you, that's 75% reduction in everyone's costs. The math just gets better the more people you put in the car. You know, ride sharing is an obvious answer, and people aren't that obnoxious that you cannot have a, you know, cannot share a car with a few people to and from work. And I suspect as we get close to that $3 per litre mark, they'll become less obnoxiously. They'll be, you know, it'll be a very inviting option. Look, there we have it. There's a few things you can do. Very important to start to think about it because we haven't hit the top yet. We haven't hit the zenith of the hurt. So if you're thinking of an electric vehicle, or you need an electric vehicle charger, or even better, an electric vehicle charger energised by the sun, call DMS Energy on 1300 502 599 and we can sort you out. DMS Energy is the North West Coast's leading solar installer and energy efficiency experts. While we can lower your power bills right now, we can give you resilience to weather out tough times. And like I said, I don't think we've seen the worst of it yet, Lee.
Whereabouts is the showroom? And you've also got Facebook and the website?
That's it. So that number again is 1300 502 599. Or you can pop in and see us at our showroom at 56 Sheffield Road in Sprayton. Or all the W's, dmsenergy.net.au. Or find us on Facebook. And if you've got any questions you'd like answered here on Power Savers, we'd love to hear from you.
Adrian Luke from DMS Energy. We'll have more Power Savers in 7 days' time. Enjoy your day and enjoy your week.
You too, mate. Thank you.